Welcome to episode 59 of GBW Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me as always is Chris.
Hello there, and you know, usually this is a sausage party, Josh, but not today.
We have a girl here.
What's going on, dude?
It's super exciting.
Wow.
Well, I didn't tell you guys. She's got a penis.
Oh, no.
How's the transitioning going?
It's going hard.
Oh.
That's like a Josh joke.
We've already set the tone. All right, so tonight we've got some very special guests. So first of all, we've got an old friend of mine who's done a lot of stuff in the makeup effects world, and he's a director in his own right. We're going a bit extreme tonight, actually, and we're going to be talking a bit about some more extreme horror movies. And he's also completely changed the way I look at chocolate pudding. So we've got Ryan Nicholson. And we've also got his lovely wife, Megan, who is also a great effects artist in her own right. So welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. That's how I met her. She was brought in to mold my dick. And she molded it, and she realized how big it was, and then we got married.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how she learned to start effects.
That is such an amazing
she
love story.
She knew how to mix the alginate, and yeah, it's great.
So you caught her with the mold later in the back room. You're like, I guess we got to get married. That's just how it's going to work now.
Awesome.
All right, so Ryan, you've had an interesting last year, and you know, there's been a lot of transition in your life over the years. I mean, we've gone from makeup effects to directing, back to makeup effects, back to directing. So there's a lot to talk about. So
absolutely.
We're gonna just start at the beginning. I mean, I think that's the best place.
Yeah.
I think you grew up in Victoria, if I'm not mistaken, for the most part,
or
your formative years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's. Where did that all start, and how did you get into horror?
Well, I was born in Edmonton, Alberta, and my father was a horror fan and a sci-fi fan. So when I was a little kid, when I was about 5 years old, my pops, he would always draw like creatures on paper and show me this stuff, and it became part of me right away that this is what I should get involved in is horror, you know. And my dad would take me to movies when I was a kid, and some of them he was like, maybe I should take you out. But you know, that's mostly when the nudity started. He didn't care about the gore. But yeah, so
which is the best part, by the way?
What, the nudity or the gore?
Nudity.
Yeah.
Josh, you found your kin.
Yeah. So I mean, I was in I lived in Edmonton until I was about 11 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I my father became a chiropractor. We had to go to college for it. He just didn't you know, rent the place and lie about being a chiropractor. He went to like 5 years, I think, of university, because he went to a year in Marietta, Georgia. Now, Marietta, Georgia is right next to the main place in Georgia. Which is the place, honey?
Atlanta.
Yeah. Atlanta. So, anyways.
Geography with Ryan.
We lived in Marietta, and that's just outside of the place you just said. And so, anyways.
The Walking Dead place.
Atlanta. The Walking Dead, that's right. So, he decided after a year he wanted to go to the other school on the other side of the U.S., which was in Portland, Oregon. And so we moved, and we went to Portland, Oregon. I think he had another 3 years there, 3 or 4 years there. And yeah, it's after that, I moved to Souk.
Right.
And I lived in Souk, which is just outside of Victoria. And then I, you know, became a Victorian.
Yeah. And so when you were in Victoria, like, I know that was probably, so you were in your teens at that point, correct?
Yeah, I was. I think when we actually moved, I moved just to Souk, and I had to do grade 7.
Right.
That was the first schooling I was doing. Actually, no, that was the second year of it. But
So right around the right time to be getting into movies and the whole video star culture.
I was absolutely obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially horror and whatnot. It's my father really, he took me to the films. So we would go see as much horror as we could. And essentially, it's I've been in it ever since I literally could walk as a baby. I loved it, and that's why I wanted to do effects, makeup, and why I wanted to make my own films. And I think that we've made some that are very good, and it's a good thing.
So what's some of these movies you saw when you were five that I'm sure the people in the audience were like, what's that guy doing with his fucking kid?
Well, that's, yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's, say, you know, when I was about five, we're getting towards the end of the 70s, and some of the stuff that we would watch and that I would get into, I just couldn't believe the coolness of, of horror, like Friday the 13th Part 3, for instance. That was in the theaters, and my dad took me to see it in the drive-thru. And it was 3D, and so it was so insane to see something like that, and just fall in love with it.
Perfect spot for a Friday the 13th movie at a drive-thru.
Drive-in.
Well, because you got wilderness all around you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
That movie was probably one of my first real scares, was actually Friday the 13th Part 3. I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
That end scene where he comes in the window, and where Jason comes in the window and then
scary
comes running down. Yeah, totally scared the shit out of me. Although, but I mean, most of the shit I was watching at your age, when you were watching horror movies, I was fucking freaked out in Bambi. But...
were crying at E.T., right?
I was.
You know, it's funny, you watch Friday the 13th Part 3 again, and I ended up... I worked on something that director of Part 3 directed. I think it was Lake Placid.
Oh, yeah.
Same director of Part 3.
Steve Miner.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in any case, it was neat to transfer from watching movies when I was a kid to actually doing movies and doing effects for movies and being on set.
Right. Yeah. And Megan, how about you? When did you first start getting into, like, movies, in particular horror movies?
When I was young, I had an older... Well, I still have an older brother. And him and his buddy were at my house, and they brought over Friday the 13th. And they started watching Part 7. This is kind of aging me. I'm a little bit younger than Ryan.
Is that the telekinesis one?
Yeah.
That's
absolutely. Carrie versus Jason.
Yeah. And remember sneaking in the living room, watching it, being like, oh my god, I didn't know this could happen on TV. I can't believe it. I want to see more. And my mom was out in the shopping center or something and came home just as he had the girl in the sleeping bag bashing her across the best
scene in that movie.
I know, and I'm like totally enthralled by this. And then she's like, Megan, get out of there right now. And I must have been 6, maybe 7, and I was like, oh, I need to see what happens.
Wow.
Does she live? And I was so upset, and she wouldn't let me finish the movie, and I cried and cried and cried, and I'm like, I need to know what happens. And Scott got in trouble. That's my brother.
Yeah.
And then the second one I saw was, I can't remember which one it was. It was shortly after that. I went to my friend's house, and they were watching, it was one of the Nightmare on Elm Street films.
Okay.
I think it was like the later one, like part... Someone with a little kid who was in Full House, and like, I don't remember. Someone with a little boy is in it.
That was Part 5, right?
Part 5.
Fuck, why do I know this stuff? I've watched all these recently.
You know it.
I know it.
The Dream Child, yeah.
And
I don't remember a kid in Full House.
Oh, I don't know if
it wasn't a good
Full
one.
House. Yeah. No, it was not a good one.
No.
Which one? What? Part 7?
No,
Part 5.
Yeah. The Dream Child.
Yeah, we're into Nightmare.
With the big Escher painting finale. Where it's all the...
Copy that.
Yeah. But it was at a young age, and then I started, as I got older, you know, I was able to rent my own movies. I'd always be in the horror, like, genre, like Sleepaway Camp and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of... It's like horror and nothing.
Addictive.
Right. Yeah.
It really is.
She knows a lot about horror, which is great.
Great. So Ryan, when did you start getting into like effects? Like, when did you obviously made a decision to get into that?
Yeah.
So did you go to school for that, or did you just start working as a assistant?
I taught myself essentially some things that I was doing right, and then I went to work for somebody that knows for real and does everything for real, and they said, I liked one thing out of your stuff, but it was so well done, that's why I brought you here. So I had 99% of it was shite, and then 1% that'd been done right and looked good. So it's essentially when I was Oh gosh, my first movie that I did effects for was in 1993, and that was Abducted 2.
The reunion.
The reunion. Absolutely. And so I was pretty young back then. This is essentially, I think it says 95 on IMDb, but this was like 93 or right. something. So, and, you know, it was the first one I was doing stuff for. I'd been doing it, just learning myself. And yeah, it's been just a fun ride. It's been years and years and years. And it's, I still do it. You know, I did it. Well, I was working, what's my last day? Monday.
Yesterday. Yeah. That's great.
Doing effects on a show. So there you go. That's a long time.
That's awesome.
Over half your life now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, and
that just made me feel old. Thanks.
Well, you go way past 93 even. Like, I was doing effects for films that were being done at the film school. So some people's first films shot on 16mm, I had done makeup effects for. And this is, again, stuff I had just taught myself when I lived in Souk or Victoria. And, you know, so you can even go back to the late 80s. So it's been a long time.
So were you like reading Tom Savini's book and Dick Smith's book? And
yeah, that was...
Yeah, you too, eh? Both of them.
Guess what? Now,
of course, every makeup artist. Yeah, right?
Now, here's the thing is that, see, some of my memory is good and some of it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Grand illusions.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So certain parts of my brain remember things that were very important in my life. And Savini, you know, is such a fantastic guy. He's interesting. When you're at these conventions and I'm a guest and he's a guest.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, it's just, you see people, on and off, you know, depending on their how good a mood it is. And Savini, he's dealt with so many things in his life. Like,
I just want to say he's really great too. Like, when we're at these conventions, he'll come over and just be like, he'll never remember us, but he'll be like, hey, I'm Savini. So
okay,
nice
okay.
to meet you. And it's like, oh,
this
I
is he's great for my wife. Because he goes and talks to all the women. You're a man.
He's always been very nice to me.
Yeah,
he always says, like, the pec flex. He's like, would you believe I'm 70?
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that happened.
I'm sure. He was Grumpy McGrump when I met him.
Me too, you know. And I understand. It's... it is what it is.
Maybe he saw your dick mold, so he got upset.
Yeah, there's been lots of penis for sure. Now, I'm not a gay guy, but you know, some of my friends are gay guys, and so it's great. It's gay. But I'm married, so hey, there you go. I told you at the beginning. Yeah, there you go.
So back to Abducted 2, the reunion. I don't want to keep bringing this up, but it was a pretty epic movie to start on, because we had Debbie Rochon,
yeah, absolutely,
in one of her first roles.
Yeah.
We have Dan Haggerty,
yeah,
Grizzly
Dan
Adams,
Haggerty, yeah,
and we have Jan Michael Vincent. So that must have been a bit of a trial by fire,
you know. Well, you know, well, the bear guy that you just said, he just passed away
Dan Haggerty. Yeah,
and that's very sad. You know, he was an interesting guy, and I only, you know, I built this effect and everything for that specific show, and I was only there for like one day.
Yeah,
but at least I got to see him, and so did other people. But they always saw him in the back of his trailer with smoke coming out the window. And they're kind of worried, like, what the hell is he smoking? Like, is it a cigarette?
How did your effect go?
Yeah, what was it?
It was an arm. It was an arm coming up at the very end of the movie, kind of like many movies where an arm comes up through the water, and it's that type of thing. It was
right.
an arm, and so, and it was, but it was rotten. I had to do a sort of a rotten thing, and it was so much fun, though.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And who was on the show? Like, was it anyone in, like, that we know that did was the key on that?
In the future, you know what? I was so young back then. My memory, I was just like, fuck it, I'm on to the next day.
Right.
So, you know, I can't really remember that per se. But well, many years goes by, and guess who I meet again and is on the set of Hanger.
Debbie Rochon. Yeah.
Debbie
that's
Rochon.
Crazy. It's a total...
Yes. No, it is. Yeah. It's totally nuts. And, you know, working with Debbie Rochon, well, she was so fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the first thing I worked on, and in my makeup effects, and then just went up and up. So,
great.
Yeah.
So from there, I believe there was a relationship formed with Adrian Moreau. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So can we talk a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's essentially, I had a video store with my son's mother, and it was awesome. It was one of the first video stores in Victoria that had the kind of movies that I loved and grew up with, you know, Street Trash and all these movies, and that's the movies I rented.
Right.
So I rented out to people, but in the basement I had my studio. When they got me, started sending things that I was doing as a portfolio, I sent it to Adrian Moreau because I became a fan of his and Fangoria.
Right.
And essentially, you know, guess what? I get a call from Adrian a few days later, and he said, you know, Ryan, I want you to come and do a movie with me on my crew. And I was like, oh my God. I was literally like, oh my God, this is absolutely phenomenal. Like, to hear from somebody is as amazing as that. So I went and I went to Adrian Moreau's place in Montreal, and I stayed there for over a year working on such neat stuff. Such fun stuff, Hemoglobin, or Bleeders, it's also
right,
called.
Yeah.
And that was all built. We built that all at Adrian's shop, and then we went to New Brunswick, I think, to shoot it, right on the ocean. And, you know, so that was the first time I was on the Atlantic Ocean. I came straight out of the BC.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you were out there for a couple of years doing various things.
Well, yeah. Well, it's interesting. I was only out in Montreal for just over a year. Then I came back to Vancouver, Victoria, Vancouver. Did more stuff here for the first time, which is amazing. You know, where you get to work with guys. Toby Lindala was amazing, because also when I was younger, you know, and he, or just at certain ages, I was such a huge fan of his work, and I still am. He's such
an
amazing
artist.
He did a lot on
the early seasons of X-Files.
Absolutely.
And
he did it all. Yeah. He is, Toby is an amazing artist.
Yeah.
That's the thing about effects artists that I grew up with, essentially working with certain people, and Bill Tarazakis.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's one of my best friends, Bill, and the work that he does is so amazing. So, yeah.
Right on. And then when you came back here, and I'm not sure what time you moved to Vancouver, but I know there was an association with Steve Johnson at some point.
Yeah, that was 96.
Yeah.
Okay. So 96, so I spent essentially 95 in Montreal. I was here for 96 as well. And I worked on just amazing stuff in 96, and just fantastic work.
Right on. So now with Steve Johnson, so you guys met, and did you start working for a shop, or because Flesh and Fantasy sort of came out of
What happened? Yeah, essentially, I was hired by Steve Johnson to be one of the first artists working in the shop, which was being built and ran and started by Charles Porlier, who's an amazing makeup artist, makeup effects artist. The guy's phenomenal. He brought me on to run this thing with him. Well, you know, work for Charles and work for Steve.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just, oh man, it was Steve Johnson. It's just so fantastic. He came out one day for 13th Warrior we were doing.
Right.
And he came out and he saw what we were doing, and seeing him was like phenomenal. Just I'm seeing a guy that I grew up with, just absolutely in love with his work.
Yeah,
you
of
know?
Course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was huge. I mean, Night of the Demons, so many great movies that Steve Johnson did.
Was that Werewolf one? New Moon or Black Blue Moon? Black
Bad Moon? Moon?
Yeah.
Bad Moon?
That one
was
so rad.
Yeah.
But you go back to like...
The unsung werewolf movie.
You go back to like Fright Night. Like the original Fright Night.
Yeah.
And you see what, you know, Steve Johnson is doing back then. Oh, so it's all so good.
Yeah. So, wow. Like, what a start. You got Adrian Moreau and Steve Johnson.
Yeah.
That's kind of your mentors.
Steve Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's it went from there on to around the time, 1990, I think it was 97, 98, got a call to go to Toronto to work on the David Cronenberg new movie, which at the time was Existenz.
Oh, I love that movie.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. And essentially, I went to Toronto, and I worked. I was there on that show for, I think, about 6 months. I was brought in. And again, I was brought in. I was the first one with another fellow who had way more experience than me, and he helped me learn as well, Sean Sansom, amazing effects artist. He brought me out and had me work on the show, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And when to see David Cronenberg and to have him work and use his hand in a scene where they're at the place, the restaurant, and Buddy gets his face gets shot off or something by the also at the very end of that scene, there's a little creature thingy sort of shaking, and a hand goes in and grabs it and chops its head off.
Yeah.
Well, that was David Cronenberg.
Oh wow,
he did that. Yeah, he was brought in. He wanted to specifically chop the head off, and he did it. It was amazing.
That's so cool. Yeah. It's like Argento-esque.
Oh, yeah.
With the black gloves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So that was, yeah. So after that, I actually stayed in Toronto for another 6 months. I loved the city. And then after that, came back to Vancouver and started working on, Lake Placid. Placid was a great thing to work on. Yeah, then that was for Toby Lindala.
Gets royalties for puppeteering.
Yeah, to this day.
Really?
To this day,
still... So it's $8.
Yeah. Sometimes, I think I had got one that was like 49 cents.
Nice.
But, you know...
paying off.
Yeah, but Lake Placid was another fun thing to work on. And working for Toby was amazing. And I met Stan Winston.
Wow.
Stan Winston, he did all... him and his crew did all the crocodiles or alligators or whatever the fuck they were. I remember he hadn't come up here spent any time for the show, that specific show, and I was on puppeteering, and that day I saw Stan Winston and I almost collapsed. I just loved his work so much. Yeah. And I went up to him, and he looked exactly like the Stan Winston I've always seen. He had a little he had a water in one hand and a thing in the other. I forget what he smoked at the time. I think it was a pipe or something.
Okay.
or maybe whatever, but it was a cigar. Was a cigar. And
was that water or vodka?
And he had jeans on. He had those jeans on, and he looked exactly like the Stan Winston that I always see. And wow, he was such an amazing guy. Oh, that was the first time and the last time I ever met him. And it was on Lake Placid. And Toby, Toby did the certain effects, and Stan did the crocodiles. Amazing.
That's fantastic, eh?
Yeah. So that was kind of like the first stuff I was experiencing in Vancouver. Like, specifically, that's not entirely true, but it was, Toby, Lindala, Bill Terzakis and stuff. These guys helped me, and they really were great to work for. And I love them to this day. I work for them as well. I work for Bill often. I just worked on, what's the name again, honey? Altered Carbon.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's sometimes my memory's a little short here and there, but as you can tell, I do remember certain things.
Yeah, of course. So at that time, then you decided to form your own shop, which was Flesh and Fantasy. That was around that time,
yeah,
I'm guessing?
That's exactly when that was when I was still working for Steve Johnson around that time. And we had done 13th Warrior. We had done some comedy stuff. And then Steve's stuff in L.A. was kind of like he had certain shows that he had spent money to get, put some good stuff on, to bid on the show.
Right.
So he spent money of his own, I think, to make a Superman costume for Nicolas Cage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
legendary unproduced Superman movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Steve, he had stuff to do with that, to help out people and help him. He wanted to get he wanted to get the show.
Right.
So he had to do things. And this is stuff that he paid for. So when things started going wrong and the movies never got made, it's essentially he needed to get out of Vancouver and focus on L.A. So I bought his shop. And because I had been there for quite a long time, and my dad was my first partner, and my dad came on board. Yeah.
Yeah. How is your dad? I haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh, my dad is awesome. My dad is, he's so interesting. He's so damn interesting. Right now.
Oh, tell him what he does now.
Yeah, he's in his late 60s, and right now he's picking up bodies and driving them to either...
What?
Yeah.
Like real bodies?
Like yeah, dead bodies.
Dead bodies.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, so it's been interesting.
Everything's becoming clear now.
Yeah. So he's over on Vancouver Island, and he's actually visited some scenes where the bodies are, you don't know if it's a murder or if it's a suicide or if it's like, and this is my dad at this age. Like, my dad just likes doing something,
yeah,
and he does this, and it's not a lot of money. Like,
he's definitely not a conventional man.
No.
Yeah. And he never has been.
No,
so
ever.
He, you know, to see him doing this, and he wants to make sure the bodies are happy. So he plays the music and sings when he's in the car after picking up the body.
Hooks his fingers in their mouth.
Yeah,
or some grin.
Really feel like this would be a great movie.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, you know, it's there you have it.
You know, most old guys, when they want something to do, play fucking cribbage.
Yes, that's very true. That's very true.
I cannot see Roy playing cribbage.
Yeah, but my dad, yeah, he was the involved in the shop in the sense that he was involved in the finances.
Yeah,
I was involved in the other stuff that I probably shouldn't have started doing when I was young and in a shop that I thought I owned. You know, sometimes the person that would come by, and you would pay them some cash when they left. So I'm not talking about drugs.
I was like, you talking about drugs?
Yeah, please clarify, Ryan, quickly.
Sometimes there's parties, but no, God, no, not drugs. Well, no, they're not called that.
That's what you're talking about.
Okay.
Just anyway. Yeah, anyways, there you go.
Should I be writing this time code down?
Hey, look, after I saw Steve Johnson's book that he has coming out.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for that.
And
yeah,
what the name of it is, I'm like, oh, you know, I was kind of like that when I was then, but I didn't do drugs and stuff like that, but I just did other stupid things.
Right.
So, and that book that Steve has coming out, oh man, I'm so happy about that. I think he's so fantastic, and he's gone through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And it's strictly those movies that I'm talking about, it destroyed him because he built things that, you know, and put all his money into it. The big ones you had, that we were just talking about, the Superman, and there was another one, was it King Kong, or, no, it was the Hulk.
Okay.
It was the Hulk, but a different Hulk, where he had a giant puppet suit, huge, and it never, like, so
never
all these,
CGI.
But yeah, that's, that was canned at the time of all this, so yeah, anyways. Okay, moving on.
Sorry. All right, so we got Flesh and Fantasy going, and you got some pretty massive projects at that time. We had, like, the first Final Destination was a big one.
Oh, God. So fantastic, yeah. And Scary Movie.
Yeah,
Scary Movie was another phenomenal film to work on. And, you know, we started doing The Pledge with... I did The Pledge with Jack Nicholson.
Right.
And, you know, that was one of the best movies I've ever worked on, you know? And I was with Sean Penn. Sean Penn directed it.
Right,
and there was a time where Sean Penn... We built the body of a little girl. It's at the very beginning of the movie. And, maybe we shouldn't tell people all the stuff at the very beginning.
It's at the beginning.
Okay, So anyways, so we did and Sean, he took me into the forest. And it was just him and I.
Were you
wow.
Just him and I. And I absolutely...
Show me on the doll where he touched you.
I was so in love with his work. At the time, he wanted to take the body. He wanted me to carry the body, just us two. He didn't want anybody else from the crew to go with him and I to set up how the body's going to be, how he's going to see it, how Jack Nicholson's going to see it,
right.
And to work with those guys. And
Jack fucking Nicholson, man.
I know.
Like, seriously.
I know. Well, and guess what my last name is? It's Nicholson.
Yeah.
You know, not that. It does mean something. Because
they changed the call sheet?
Yes, on the call sheet, they took my name. They changed my name. So I don't know why. Maybe Nicholson didn't want another Nicholson there, you know. And I it was bizarre because I'm like, it's normally, I've seen it on other things. But my last name was different, strictly on a call sheet.
What was it?
I forget. It was probably Mickelson. Nicholson.
No, they just
changed. Ryan Nichols.
Or they just change one letter.
Or Dicklison. That's what
Nicholson.
That was what I was called, actually. When I came back from Portland, I was started grade 7 in Sooke. The kids I was different because I wore pink pants and I was kind of like a new, I was like a, I love,
your mom really hated you.
I love Flock of Seagulls. And then I was in souk where everybody is like a freaking like old
hippie
or like, you know,
sheep
forest,
raper.
Yeah. And so they,
sheep in souk?
I don't know. Well, anyways, just seemed right.
Yeah. So there you go. I it's so many memories.
So they called you Dickleson? Is that what?
Dicklison.
Dicklison.
Yeah. Yeah, they call me Dicklison. So there
should
you
have
go
showed me your mold.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
It wasn't made yet.
Wait a second. We were in the middle of a fucking awesome Sean Penn story.
Oh, so, well, anyway.
So Sean Penn was taking you to the woods with the little girl.
Yeah, with the body. And then we literally positioned it over. We were there for like a half an hour, just him and I. And he was positioning it. And in very, like, the way that you saw what he was doing, you're just like, it starts to hurt because it's so nasty looking, so evil looking. And then, he would say, no, I want to try it another way. So he would go do it another way. And I would look and see, and the body was fully capable of posing in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And but it was, I always thought she was going to be on her back. They would lay her on her back and anyway, but no, you know what he did? He goes, I'm going to bend her over a piece of tree and we'll pull her back down, her back shorts down.
Wow.
And that's what was done. And the body, we positioned it that way. And it was, for me, I was shocked. I was like, holy crap, that's brutal. Like, it's so nasty looking. Like, it disturbed me even. And it disturbed Sean Penn because he was really trying to, the movie needed a certain way to go.
Yeah.
And so he did it. And it's when Jack Nicholson saw it, he looked at me and he said, that's a great body. That's a great body. And just Bill Ryan, you know. The nice
wow. Guy. Well, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
I seem to remember seeing that body in another movie at one point.
We'll pass on that.
I remember you also, I think you were involved with Elf a little bit too. It's another holiday favorite.
Yeah, Elf was absolutely amazing to work on. And again, it was Flesh and Fantasy. My company, we did all the Elf ears. We did other effects. We built a giant, like a big alien, or what was it?
The troll,
a big one. But it was like a big suit with a giant head that was all mechanical. But they ended up not using it. Mm. We filmed it, but they ended up going with like a more of a stop motion type of look,
right,
from one that was maybe like, you know, like 12 inches high. And then so Elf was amazing because it was you look at, well, what's his nuts? I had just seen him in on SNL. I had been in SNL and taken backstage, and I got to meet him backstage.
Will Ferrell?
Yeah, Will Ferrell. Mm. And I got to, going backstage at SNL is something pretty. But then you have Will Ferrell come, and I'm doing his show. So right. He was a nice guy. He's a very nice guy, but not funny. Like, he's very serious on set.
Right.
He's not smiling. He's not, you know, joking around, the typical that kind of guy. He's super serious, super normal, but he wasn't laughing much. So it was too cold, maybe. His balls were frozen. They must have been.
Don't bring me down, man. All right, and you were also doing some TV shows. I know Andromeda was a big one at that point with Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, my God, that show. Yeah, but, you know, Harlow McFarlane, he was my first, another one of my best friends, and we brought him on that show, and he was on it for, I think, almost 4 years.
Yeah.
And doing such amazing effects makeup. And it was an interesting show.
Yeah.
You know, you had, because when it first came out, you had some interesting people involved, but then they switched it. So season two, it was all different. And so I made the makeup. I made it more hardcore. I was like, hey, if we're going this way, I'm going to make this a mean motherfucker.
Yeah.
So you look at the alien character we were doing. What the hell was his name again? The two.
The hairy one?
Yeah, the hairy one.
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
It was the hairy one.
The hairy one.
Harry. Just yeah. call him Harry.
There's the hairy one with the bat nose.
Harry bat nose.
So yeah. So there you go. That was fun to do. We did him, but like I said, every year, you know, I'd be making him look more hardcore and more nasty and evil, and it was awesome. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of, you also got to meet, I mean, obviously so many people during this time. I mean, you got to meet Morgan Freeman on like Dreamcatcher.
Yeah.
I know you had a bit of a relationship with John Voight.
Well, let's go back to Morgan Freeman. This went further than that. I flew to Morgan Freeman's house.
Wow.
Yeah. And he had such a huge bunch of land. And we did this because I was doing a movie at the time, which was called Do you remember the name of it?
Was that the spider one? Along Came a Spider?
No. This is one like
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez was in it, and so was. You would know. It was a big one.
Yeah,
huge. And I was able to do Morgan Freeman's stuff. So I went down to his place. It's not like they flew him up to my shop, you know. So I got to go on vacation and go down there and go to his house, mold him. Mold his head, his shoulders, and his ass.
Nice.
Did he want his ass molded? No, he didn't.
Ryan threw that one in for free.
But
he's like, this isn't an actual effect shot.
They wanted to. I don't know why the hell they wanted it molded. And then apparently there may be scars on it. And it's like, well, you can do that with just, you know, makeup. You don't need to mold an ass.
You know, you got to be accurate when friggin' parasitic aliens are bursting from your ass. You got to be accurate.
Absolutely.
His wife might be upset if it didn't look
that's
the same.
Not you.
Well, this is the thing.
I know that ass anywhere, and that's not you, Morgan.
Well, both Morgan Freeman and myself were looking at each other, and we were both like, well, you know, neither one of us want to do it.
Were you crying?
But we did it. We did it.
Were you crying when you had to cup the balls?
Yeah.
Did you guys high-five each other when you were done?
Well, he was happy with the way, you know, the way it went and everything. And essentially, you know, almost all of his body was molded. Like, not at the same time, though. Different times.
He just kept calling you back, did he?
But in any case...
No one touches me like you do, Ryan.
In any case...
Why can't I quit you?
I ended up leaving that show because I was fired, because the director and myself, we did not get along about how the makeup was going to be. They wanted one thing, then they wanted another thing. I did both, and I knew the first thing I did was the right way to go. They didn't believe me at the time. They wanted something dumb, so I did it, and they didn't like it. They hated it, but that's exactly what they wanted.
Well, if it's any consolation to you, it's a terrible fucking movie.
Exactly. But
that movie.
So anyways, so I said something to the director that I shouldn't have said, and it got me fired, because it's what I said. And I said, yeah, okay, you know, you don't like this style of makeup, I'm going to go. And I was 5 hours outside of town where I lived. And this was a meeting. They were looking still for sets and blah, blah, blah. So I said, on my way home, I have a 5-hour drive. I'll pick up somebody. I'll pick up a hitchhiker. I'll take him in. I'll tie him to a tree. I'll get a bear here. I'll get the bear to attack them. And then I'll mold their body. So that's what I said to him, and he was looking at me, and essentially he walked away. And so I drove 5 hours home. I get home, I go to bed, I didn't have much time to sleep, another couple hours, I got up, went to my shop, I go in, everything, all the molds were gone for the show. And I said, what the hell happened? They said, you're fired. They didn't, the projector didn't want you there anymore. And I'm like, oh, shit. But still, I still had one of one of Morgan Freeman's heads. So I still had one. So I kept one of those.
I'm surprised you didn't keep the ass.
Well, there you go. They took the ass. God damn it. They took it.
So also around this time, we met John Voight. And I know you really love him. So.
Yeah, John Voight. I just talked to him recently. He's one of my best friends. I absolutely love John Voight, because John Voight, and for people that ever watch my Facebook, I'm doing a top 10 movies of all time right now. John is in, I say there's, in my top 10, there's 3 of his movies. And that's simply because they were three of my favorite movies before I met John Voight, and man, oh man, they just started moving up from lower in the top 10, lower in the top to top three.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm telling you, he's such a nice guy. I've worked with him, I think I was saying five movies, but I think it was actually six. But in any case, amazing man. And I worked with him here. I worked with him in LA. I worked with him in Rome, Italy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we became very good friends. And so he would call me and bring me out to his movies to do makeup effects for things he wanted. And for Transformers, he was supposed to have a jaw, a different style jaw that was more of like a warrior, you know, even though I think he was like a colonel or something. Or,
yeah.
And so we did the jaw. It was one of the first things out of silicone, actually, to ever be done. Well, not to ever be done. I didn't do that. But but it was like it was still being managed, the series, the silicone. Sometimes it would work. Sometimes it wouldn't. The time that we tested this makeup in L.A., it didn't work. It was too hard of silicone. So it was like a damn rock. And I had to glue it on his face and do all that. And yeah, and I've worked on just so many things with the guy. I love him. Absolutely love him. Oh, sorry to burp. I keep drinking and I'm burping. I had to burp at where we ate. I was burping too much after. I'm just going to shut up and let you talk.
No, burp away, brother. But I'm just like getting lost in like not only the fact that you're making all these cool makeup effects, but just the fact that you get to sit with these guys and shoot the shit with John Voight about Midnight Cowboy and stuff. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Must just be an amazing experience.
Oh, absolutely. We were doing, we were watching Midnight Cowboy or Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Midnight, like Cowgirl for a second. I was like, is that a porno that maybe is from way back?
It does sound like a porno, doesn't it? It's
definitely a porno.
Yeah, Midnight Cowboy, it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing is, like, when you're watching that with the star, and you're doing a little bit of makeup, we're watching it on a small screen, and he's doing the way he's talking. The voices and how it changed and he's doing all the famous things, and I'm just like, holy crap, we put on Ali. Guess how he sounded there.
Sounded like Howard Costron.
Yeah. Howard Costron tonight, young gang. Like, you know, that's and it's just it's that was the most, that's the best thing about my film career. Best thing about anything to do with anything was to meet John and become such a friend with him. But to make a long story short, I was going to do Transformers. We did the prosthetic. John liked it, but the union down there, they said Ryan can make the stuff, but he's not going to be applying it to you. We're going to get one of ours. And John didn't really like that because he wanted me to do his makeup because I'd done it on other shows. And they wouldn't let it happen. Wow. So guess what? John said, well, I'm not going to be wearing a prosthetic. And Ryan's not going to be doing it. So there you go. Did he wear a prosthetic? No, he didn't.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's the most amazing guy.
Stood up for you,
yeah, right? He's totally stood up for me. And he stood up for my friend that passed away, Chris. Chris and...
Chris Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a thing that happened with us on a show, and Chris was there working, doing the most amazing airbrushing.
Yeah.
And, well, John Voight, he stood the ground and stood up for Chris, because I was trying to stand up for Chris, but I could have got fired.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Yeah.
That's amazing. Chris is a really great guy. Yeah,
I miss him.
Yeah.
You know, he had the double transplant. He lived, I think it was almost a decade.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. He went that long and he had such a great life.
Yeah.
You know, I remember we went to Taiwan together to do a commercial, and it was me, my dad, and Chris.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and we miss him. Yeah.
Yeah. Megan. So I know we so Ryan had this experience of sort of teaching himself how to get into effects. You took a bit of a different route where you actually went to a makeup school. And how did you learn effects?
Well, Ryan told you the story about the dick, didn't he? I went to New Image College, and actually I had met Ryan previously to that. He was at a horror convention in 2009. at
a horror convention?
Yeah.
Like... Horror, Ryan. Horror. Horror.
You're not in Thailand anymore. Well,
I think it was, but it was more like a sci-fi thing. It was
a Halloween. I don't know. It was Trauma was there.
Oh, Trauma was there.
Was it the one in Victoria?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's her. That's where she met me.
That's where I met her.
But I was there doing makeups for the school I was working at. Right. And that's why we was there, because we had a table. We were showing kids that you come over here, you learn this. Yeah. And then as Megan found out, or you learn more.
I learned what misery is.
So was that booth what prompted you to go to New Image?
Yeah, I just...
She won.
They had a draw there. You could put your name in and get a scholarship or whatever. And I put my name in. I didn't know what it was for. I'm like, whatever. And I got a call like that Monday after the convention. And they're like, hey, you won a scholarship to our school. And I was wanting to go to makeup school, but I was kind of a degenerate fuck who like drank too much. Couldn't really get her life sorted out and could never afford it. And I was like, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. But that's what I wanted to do. And then I got the scholarship and I'm like, that's it. This is perfect. And I straightened my life up, you know, stopped partying and everything, and then went to school and met this fucktard.
Well, I mean, the thing is, makeup-wise, you know, we did amazing things teaching at New Image, because the owners of New Image, like, especially for myself, learning so much from some of the best makeup effects artists in the world, and me being able to go and try to teach it, you know. But it costs a lot. It's a lot of money, this and that. So teaching sometimes can go the hard way. You know, if somebody that you see...
Yeah, it can.
Oh, God. So, yeah, in any case. Yeah, so...
I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Go.
So I met Megan. She came in and... She loved horror movies.
Well, we had lockers, and he was looking through lockers, being a perv, right? And he saw this Fangoria magazine hanging out of my backpack.
Yes, I did.
And he was like, holy fuck, do you know who this is? And he was like, I'm like, yeah, of course, it's Fangoria. Like, I'm reading it. It's mine. He's like, mind blown. Yeah. Like, he's like,
I was mind blown. Seriously, she was the first, like, woman I ever met that had like a Fangoria that was in her backpack that she was reading, and just that loved the gore effects on stuff, to actually meet her in person. And the fact that she's such an amazing makeup artist, normally, like model makeup, and no, like in she's school. One of the best I've ever seen do that type of makeup, as well as makeup effects. She's so tremendous at it.
Oh, thank you.
So single guys out there, there is hope, but you kind of have to be buddies with John Voight.
And have a really big dick.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
And lots of plaster. Lots of plaster.
Build it up.
Okay, so what happened now? So Megan, you went to school.
She molded his dick. What the fuck do you think happened now?
I know what happened now. Okay, so you're going to school. Ryan's teaching there. So you guys, like, how did you start getting into the business now?
So I graduated from school, and like during school, I would go on Craigslist and like do all the movie ads and stuff, and I try to get in doing commercials or like short films or like student projects. You have to start from
the ones
the very
that
bottom.
They never have a penny to give you.
You gotta pay your dues, right? And eventually, like Ryan helped me a lot along the way, like and I think he also hindered me at times too. But we just kind of just fell into our own thing, I guess, eventually. Like I'd get my experience doing that, and then we'd start doing our own thing. My first thing actually was on Profane Exhibit, which never came out.
Right.
But it was a really cool short that we had done.
Yeah.
And it was so violent and nasty. Yeah. Like, we do a hook up a girl's vag.
Is that the one?
Oh, the stuff. It's one of the best things that Plot Digger ever made, that I ever made, and the people that helped us on that. Because it was so violent. But for the crew that we had was amazing. And all those guys are pros doing Hollywood shows here, you know. But they helped me out on this show. And then you're just like, holy crap, you watch it. And you're like, shit. And it's never going to come out. So some of us have started letting, you know, people that are super fans see it. You know, they're not allowed to go and sell it or anything. But, you know, it's there's great people that were involved in it.
So yeah, let's just digress for one sec, because this was an anthology movie that was supposed to come out, and it had some pretty kick-ass directors. I mean, Ryan had a short in it. Ruggiero Deodato had one, director of Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
I believe Coffin Joe had one.
I don't think they made it, though.
Coffin Joe. Well, that's...
We're supposed to have one.
I think there was only, like, 6 directors that actually got... Right. The trilogy's made. Yeah.
But all these names attached. Sergio Stivaletti was another one. And,
he's involved, yeah.
Yeah, so this really cool project that has never seen the light of day and for reasons kind of unknown.
The stuff is made, too. Yeah. Like, that's what's mind-blowing. Like, fucking put it out.
I don't understand how it never came out or why it never came out. I mean, you can have... If something goes the opposite direction, like, say, the producer... And the director, if they go opposite direction, you know, it shouldn't make a difference. They should allow it to be released.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, not. It's stupid. I don't get it.
So it's just stuck in limbo.
Yeah, it's absolutely
stuck in limbo, and it will be stuck in limbo.
It doesn't look positive. That's
There's directors now that are, like the guy that just, Colossal. Did you know about Colossal? It was shot here in Vancouver.
No.
And one of the directors... of the Profane exhibit was a director.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's got Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis in it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's basically, we just watched the trailer for it. It's kind of cool.
So you see that. It's basically like a giant Godzilla walking around, but it's doing weird shit.
Like, it's like Anne Hathaway can control it. She doesn't know what's happening.
Right.
It's weird. It looks cool.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
It's amazing. So, but do you think that director wants anybody to know about Profane exhibit?
Right.
No, but what he did on the Profane exhibit was fucking amazing. It was so good.
Huh. And you're part of that also. It started like Monique Perrant and Tina Krause.
Yeah, they were both bought, or they both came out of Eastern USA.
Yeah.
And both amazing with what we had to do, you know, and they
She took that movie by the horns, man. Monique.
Yeah. Monique, you know, she's been such a good, like, somebody on a movie that's going to say, I'll do what the fuck I want and how I want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's not going to take shit from the people running the show.
Yeah.
She's going to run the show. And that's a great thing for those actors.
She was rad, though, too. She was like, we're like, oh, you know, you don't have to, you can be modest with this. She's like, no, I feel like my character would definitely have her right tit out in this scene. And we're like, okay, do that then.
Yeah, and
it was cool.
Yeah, she kicks ass in that. And I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I mean, listeners who aren't aware of who she is, she was in shit tons of erotic thrillers in the 90s. And Tina Krause also was in the Wave productions.
She was in a little bit of bigger productions. She actually did some.
She's done all kinds of stuff, but it's a really great short.
And then you have Dan Ellis.
Right.
And that's such a fucking amazing character that he plays.
Yeah.
You know, it's Dan. Well, Dan always played great characters in all 4 shows I worked with him on. And he's such a great actor. And, you know, of course, he goes and does another great show. That's American Guinea Pig. Blood.
I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah, he's a star of that.
Oh, wow.
And he's fucking amazing, you know. Well, I haven't seen the movie, but he is fucking amazing.
He does a good job.
Yeah, no, I've read.
He's been, like, watching your movies, he's
fucking
much.
Phenomenal. Like, yeah. He's a great actor. And
was he a local find, like, around Vancouver?
Yeah, he was a local find. He's been, I think he's from the U.S.,
Cincinnati.
I found him, you know, he auditioned for Gutterballs.
Right.
And he won. He won that thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it wasn't like the movies we were going to do were going to get easier. I mean, he had to go through full prosthetics on the next one, which is Hanger.
Yeah.
And, you know, then he had to almost bury himself in, you know, the star vehicle. He had to bury him. The guy is amazing at what he does.
Right.
And I haven't seen the new American Guinea Pig, but I'm going to order it.
Yeah.
I think he was going to give me one, but I'd love to see it.
Right
but
on.
He was amazing in this one, yeah.
Right on. All right, so back to me.
Ryan's really good at stealing the show.
Well, we just keep going in different directions. All right, so we were we're working on Profane Exhibit. Mm-hmm. Now, where do we go from here?
I think I went into, like...
Dead Nude Girls?
No, like... Like, I just did, like, nothing. I was doing makeup jobs and stuff, but nothing, like, worth mentioning.
Right.
And then we did...
You worked on the sequel, Grave Encounters 2. That's kind Absolutely. Of a found oh, footage movie.
It's totally worth mentioning.
It's a found footage movie that, yeah. not a lot of people are, you know, not a, a lot of people claim to be fans of it. But it's from what I understand, and I haven't seen either of them, I'll admit that, but the first Grave Encounters is supposed to be quite good for a found footage movie.
Yeah, it was fun. I remember
And part two had a really memorable cover, I know that, on the
that
Blu-ray.
That was our monster.
Nice. Yeah. So
we made that.
That's a pretty big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is a great deal. I forget about
things. And the director on part two, he didn't direct part one.
Right.
Those guys.
Yeah, it was John are amazing. Paul Quinn.
Yeah.
No, that was great. That was that was my first real movie, really.
Right.
Like, I'd done like our stuff, but it was like I had to be on set on my own, and I did so many things wrong. It was so funny. And I was building stuff, like we're shooting out at Riverview, and I'm building stuff in this room that we've given, and I have nobody on set, and I'm thinking I'm doing a good job, you know?
Yeah.
While the key makeup's kind of like covering my ass on set. And it's like, I have no idea. It was like my first time, and I'm just winging it, trying to get things done. Yeah. And it was super rad. And while I was doing that, I was shooting another film for New Image, because they were doing these feature films for their courses. So I was keying that in the daytime, I was keying this film called The Safe Place. And then at nighttime, I was going to do Grave Encounters.
Oh my God.
It was a nightmare. I'm like, why?
The Vicious Brothers.
Yeah.
That's the Vicious Brothers.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've heard
that. Yes. And they're amazing. They're absolutely such an amazing, directors, and they're so damn good, and they have new stuff coming out. We did one of them in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and we shot it. Oh,
That to date is my favorite film, the one we did in Las Vegas for them.
Yeah. And what was that one?
It's called It Stains the Sands Red.
It's not out yet.
It's a zombie film, yeah, that they just did, I can't remember that. They just did another one.
Sitges? I don't know the name.
I don't know, there's this place in Brazil or something where there was a stick. Anyways, they took it to a... the film festival
out there. It's the SIGN.
Oh, the Sitges. Yeah. It's a big genre festival.
But they won, I think,
that's a big deal. Yeah.
The movie's phenomenal. Cool.
Yeah, I know, it's such a great film. It's a very neat. I remember reading the script for it, and I'm like, oh my God, it's just a zombie following this hooker through the desert.
She's not a hooker.
She's a stripper. And, sorry.
You seemed really offended by that.
God damn it, she's a stripper, not a hooker.
Fucking stripper, goddamn it.
Yeah, oh my God.
Learn the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I'll leave
that
up.
Well, he's right. I mean,
Don't those two usually go hand in hand, though?
No, they do not go hand in hand.
Sometimes.
They kind of do.
Sometimes.
Depends on how technical you want to get.
So explain this story.
She's like running away. Not running away, but she like wakes up in a car and...
It's out in the middle of the desert.
You can see like Las Vegas in the horizon.
It's amazing, yeah.
And the car breaks down, and then she ends up having to like... She's all in her stripper wear from work last night. And the zombies comes down, and she's basically just... She gets stranded from her car and has to run away through the desert from the zombie.
Yeah.
But it's such a fucking rad film.
The zombie and her start getting a bit of a relationship.
Yeah, right?
and
let's just say there's a little bit of period blood in this movie.
period blood.
Here we go.
Yeah. Another Megan idea.
No, that was the Vicious Brothers for sure.
I've always been fascinated by where strippers get their clothes. Anyway.
Exactly.
Just a couple other just titles, because I know Ryan, we're going to get into your directing in a second here, but just a couple of other titles, just as far as makeup goes, just wondering what you guys' thoughts were. So you guys worked on Dead Rising.
The first Dead Rising was amazing. You know, Zach, the director, is such a fucking great guy, and Dead Rising was just the lead actor. Like, he's phenomenal, so...
Jesse Metcalf. I don't know. They're both fun. We did the first one and the second one, and they all had their challenges. And the first one, we had a lot more bodies being ripped apart,
right?
Which is always challenging. They have to start full and then get ripped apart by saws or whatever. So it was really hard. And I remember we did this one test, and the makeup test, it was great. Like, I had the sealant on it perfect, and it came apart easily. And then
Oh, yeah, and it was a body and, splitting yeah, apart body from the apart. Middle, then, right to the crotch.
Yeah, right, and then when we go to, I'm working on it, I'm, like, doing it, the makeup test went great, and then I'm like, oh, I'm just going to change one thing, maybe it'll be better, and then not test it, so we take it to set the next day, and we can't even open it up, because I made it too strong.
Oh, shit.
So I'm like, fuck, and then I learned my lesson, I'm like, always do your makeup test, don't try to change it if it works, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it came apart.
It came apart, but it yeah. it definitely took a lot more pushing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so funny, though.
Right on. Now, another big one I know you guys worked on together was with the Saska sisters, yeah. Vendetta, which yeah. is a prison movie starring The Big Show Dean Cain.
Yeah, The Big Show is so awesome to work with.
Yeah, we did a lot of cool gags for that show. Unfortunately, they all got cut out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the Saskas made such a great film. They're so fantastic. They're great ladies, super talented. Their next movie will be another great one. But this one, it had a great scene that was a really gory one where a guy's head gets completely crushed into, like, flat. Yes.
Sweet. Yeah.
I can see the pain in their faces right now.
They wanted it. They wanted it because they're making a movie, and it didn't have much gore anyways.
It did. It had scrambled eggs for brains, yo.
So this,
it was so good.
Yeah, this was going to be good. And then
Big Show, his big, massive foot just crushes this,
And it looked so fucking gory. Yeah. I think the brain fucking popped
out. Yeah, and it just, I remember I was watching on camera, and, like, once it crushed down, it
exploded.
The bladders exploded, and it just went, whoosh, yeah. Like, it was like a waterfall of blood and guts and brains and everything.
And that's so the thing, amazing. Too. Like, we made it, I wanted the Saskas to love it.
Yeah.
You know, because they love that type of thing, and then they loved it. I heard them in the, they were watching it on camera, and they just started laughing because they loved it so much.
Yeah, you could hear them,
yeah, so that was great. You know, but
of course WWE cut it out. Yeah. It was too violent.
We're dying for the Saskas next film, and it will be fantastic. So we're just waiting to see what's going to happen with what they want to do. So yeah, that's some good stuff.
Yeah,
that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, another director I wanted to talk about a little bit. We talked to him a bit about him at dinner. Was Marcel Walls?
Yes. Yeah.
Now I know Megan. You worked on. So he's done some extreme movies called La Petite Mort.
Yeah.
Now I haven't seen these. Now I've seen some of this sort of crazy stuff, but not a lot of it. But I know Megan, you worked on that. And then if you want to talk a little bit about that, and then I'd also like to just talk a bit about his Blood Feast remake.
For sure. Yeah. That was the second film we actually worked for Marcel, and that one was in Germany, and it was super awesome. We were shooting down in this gay sex club, if you want to call it that. It was
like a dungeon.
It's a dungeon.
Right. It is a dungeon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was super gross.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember they'd have AIDS parties and golden shower parties
a sex dungeon.
Germany.
It was huge. It would have all these different quadrants,
and it went so deep into this old building from God knows what, 1900 or something.
Yeah,
and
I remember
of club it is. It have to go deep.
I remember the night before we had to go in and shoot once. They had a golden shower party. And you came in the next morning, everything smelled like bleach, but they didn't clean it well enough because everything was sticky and shiny.
Oh,
so we're nobody sit on anything today and always wear shoes. But no, that movie was actually really fun.
Ryan
made this really cool penis prosthetic. We're one of the
leads. I think we did penises on all three movies that we shot with him.
So what was the first one again?
That was that would have been La Petite Mort. Oh, Seed 2. That's right. Yeah, the
Seed 2. And yeah, that was
in Las Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that was the first one. And then it was La Petite Mort 2 was after, and what was it called? Blood Feast.
Blood Feast, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Yeah, the guy's an amazing fucking director. Fantastic. Right,
yeah, it was super. It was fun.
His whole crew, everybody involved, because we had people involved in all three movies. That were in his same crew and their family now.
Yeah.
And Marcel is so amazing that I really hope, Blood Feast shows what he's doing and he can get a Hollywood flick, and come and direct it. Because he's that guy. He's ready for Hollywood long ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Now, Ryan, I know, like, when all this was going on, when Flesh and Fantasy was going on, I mean, we sort of met because we were both big fans of horror movies. Mm-hmm. But in my brief foray into filmmaking, you've always been very, very supportive. I know in a short film I made, like, way back when, you provided some, contact lenses for zombies. Yeah. I remember you made me up as a vampire once for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
And then a big thing that you did was I was working with Vince D'Amato, who's a past guest.
Yeah.
And we were making a movie called Vampires vs. Zombies. Yeah. And you came in and helped fix the or redo the ending with a bit more gore.
Oh, yeah.
And that also started a bit of a relationship between with you and Creepy Six Films.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that then culminated in a movie called Torched. So can we talk a bit about Torched?
Yeah, well, Torched is that's such an interesting film in the sense that, you know, the location, most of the location where we shot Torched was where they had done slaughtered vomit dolls previously.
Great.
And when you see that and you see what's going on, you're like, holy, what am I stepping in here, you know?
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
But that's where slaughtered vomit dolls, most of it, just like Torched, had been shot. And they had shot it there before us, or one or the other way. But there was blood in both ways, where there was a little bit of blood still on the wall or something that we'd find. But it was Torch was an interesting film because it was more of a serious style. There's not like a lot of funny shit being talked about. You know, that turned into a movie like Gutterballs, where everything is a fucking laughable. But not this one.
Yeah.
And this is more like Good Wife. Yeah. You know, you look at those two, and they're both short films.
Good Wife is the short from Profane Exhibit.
That's correct, yeah. And so it's Torch was a great show to do. I mean, we were shooting in a place that had a giant fire alarm go off, and just things like that that would... Actually, my son was filming. He was doing a little bit of VHS filming on that.
I know. How old was he?
A big thing. He was very young. Yeah. But he was old enough to run around with a camera, and he was filming stuff. And it was always... We saw when the fire alarm went off, the amount of fire trucks, I think it was like four or five, came up. And they actually had giant hoses that came up, and there was no... I think there might have been smoke coming out of something, but what the hell was it? Oh, you don't remember that.
It's not there.
Yeah. In any case, yeah. It was fun. Great cast.
That's great.
Yeah.
And the premise of that is it's kind of a throwback to, like, the rape revenge movies of the, like, Ms. 45 or I Spit on Your Grave, that type of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like, a Ms. 45 is, I love that movie. And it's sad that the lady passed away, you know, it was just quite a while ago. But she was such a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
And, but the movie, yeah, I love that one.
Yeah. And Torched, I mean, you can fucking imagine. Okay, so from Torched, we went on to Live Feed.
Yeah.
Which was your first feature film as a director.
Yeah.
And you kind of went for it on this one. Pretty high concept with, we were going a bit into found footage. We had people running around with samurai swords.
Yeah.
We have Stephen fucking Chang
from
First Blood, who played the Vietnamese
torture
dude for First Blood. It's one of the stars.
Yeah.
So that, how did that come about? Where did how did that get going?
Well, that was we had been doing Flesh and Fantasy, the makeup effects shop, and I'd been doing effects on so many things, and I was just like, well, we did Torched, let's do another one, let's do a feature film. And my dad, he agreed. You know, my dad liked the idea too, so I wanted to write something and write the script and see if we could pull it off. And the place where we shot it was at the porno
Venus.
Theater.
Venus.
And, that place at the time, it was so disgusting, the amount of semen around it. And
this is crusty white stuff.
And we shot the whole thing there.
Well,
we shot pretty much most of it. We only had one other location, I think. That was the night market.
Yeah.
So in any case, it was, the movie was just fantastic to shoot. That was one of the best ones. And the amount of crew we had the right amount of crew, we had the right amount of gear. Like, the money that was put into the movie was spent on making it perfectly, you know? It wasn't screwed around on, and the people we met were great.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, so I love that. And there is a bit of a sequel to that.
Is there?
Yeah, Evil Feed.
Where's that? What's the deal with that?
Evil Feed, that was made, what was it, about...
I think it was 2012.
Yeah, and that's, I wrote the script, and essentially I was going to direct it, but I didn't end up directing it, and the script was bought off of me, and the movie was made.
Wow.
And it's a great movie. It's live, it's the way that I wrote it, it's essentially like live feed over again, but nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's got cast from live feed in it. And it's fantastic. And the gore, we didn't do the gore. Megan and I have nothing to do with the movie Evil Feed. But
our friend Tracy Lay did.
Yeah, Tracy Lay did the makeup.
I had no idea about this. Yeah, that's crazy.
And the movie's phenomenal. So it's, if you look at IMDb, it says it's story by Ryan Nicholson.
Yeah.
I wrote the script. I wrote the script over a dozen times, changing it, you know, the way that we were going with it. And eventually, the movie is my script. But they switched it to one of the producers and some other woman. And I'm like, why did they do that? But, there was a little bit of an issue that financially and physically, my movie was taken from me. And it was, but you know, that's the way it went. But the director did a great job, and the makeup was phenomenal. And it's like my movie; you can watch it, and that's my script. So it's you see it, and you're like, "Holy shit, this is like gutter balls."
Crazy. Is that out?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like you can go buy it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Wow, never even heard. Have you heard of that?
Evil Feed.
No idea.
Evil Feed. Yeah,
never heard of that.
Oh. The sequel, non-sequel to Live Feed.
Well, it's essentially almost a remake of Live Feed. I rewrote it specific ways. This one has a lot of fighting in it. So it's a lot of, martial arts in it.
Yeah.
So that's why, we made it. So I made it I tried to make it like an old school 80s type of flick.
Yeah.
With the script that I wrote, and it has funny shit, man. The
Dicky roll.
Yeah, the Dicky roll. Like when you the Dicky roll is in it, but no, the effects that were done. Oh, it's phenomenal. You have to see it.
Right on. Yeah. Wow. So I'm gonna do this to you a couple times, but I'm just wondering about versions. Because I know fucking Live Feed has come out like a bunch of different times, and I'm always confused.
Yeah.
Is there a definitive version of Live Feed that people should look for?
Well, I think that the honest opinion would be the initial release, the official release that was a company out of Florida put it out on DVD. And just after VHS had ended, I was like, oh, man, I want a VHS of this.
Yeah.
One came out. Actually, one or two came out eventually. Yeah. But back then, VHS was just ending. And it was like DVD. So.
Isn't it more like just collector's versions where you can add more outerwear to the DVD?
Yeah.
There's the one XXX.
Outerwear, yeah.
Yeah.
There's one XXX version where there's actually some XXX incidents. Yeah.
In Life Feed?
In Life Feed, yeah.
There is one.
It comes in a Chinese food box.
It's interesting.
Out of any director in the fucking world, you're the one that makes it the most confusing.
I know. Trust me, I know.
He has too many ideas.
Yeah.
It's like, we got to get you to do someone with a dildo and we'll put it in. We'll put an insert in. It'll be great. I'm like, oh.
Okay. The actress loves it.
So there's a Chinese food version, but you're saying the initial release is kind of the one to get.
Yeah. The Live Feed unrated edition that came out. MTI Video.
Right.
That's the company. They're still around too, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
they were great. They were great to work with. Now the international company that ripped me off. They distributed Live Feed, I think, through 12 countries or something. They didn't pay me a penny.
Wow.
Not one penny. They completely stole my movie. The contract, we tried to sue them, and we would have had to go to the United States. They were based out of California. Something just told us, fuck it, let's just walk away. And so they made a lot of money. We made shite, from that. But it was lots of fun.
So buy the MTI version and you'll still get something, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. MTI, we actually, our contract ended. It was a big, and it's been around for a long time when your contract is like 10 years later. It was literally 10 years later the contract ended. As soon as that ended, that was it. So we started putting our own versions out and this and that. So, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
So, of course, now we're in, like, the 2000s now, and so you followed it up live feed with Gutterballs.
Yeah.
Now, arguably your most famous movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I mean, there's many versions. Yeah, huge step up, in my opinion,
yeah.
of course, from live feed. I thought they were, like, night and day. I mean, I love live feed, but Gutterballs, I just felt, was in a different realm. And I thought a lot of that was to do with casting. I mean, you managed to assemble a pretty amazing cast here.
Yeah.
Alistair Gamble.
Yeah, fantastic. And he's been on big movies that were, you know, in Vancouver's like $2 million budget.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like a straight to, you know, a little guy making a movie for, you know, $100. And so Alistair was great.
He's Nathan loudmouth. Yeah.
He was
Nathan, Dan Ellis, of course.
Yeah. And Wade Gibb. Wade Gibb was the. He was the.
He was the nerdy one, wasn't he?
No. That was another fellow. I'm just trying to remember which. I'm trying to remember. Remember they go in the. You don't see him die. That's why. But he remembers Alistair's going down the hallway and he sees the guy shoved in the thing and his penis is hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's Wade Gibb.
Right.
His head had been cut off.
Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of, the head comes out the bowling alley or the thing where the bowling ball comes out of the head.
Yeah.
So, it was such a fantastic movie. And, you know, I'm still in touch with a lot of that cast. I'm in touch with live feed cast even. But, you know, it is, oh, God, it's just fantastic.
Gutterballs is such a fun movie. And, it's all shot in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I felt like you got a lot of production value out of just picking a location like that.
Yeah.
Just because we haven't seen a lot of movies shot in a location like that.
Yeah, the bowling alley was just so modernized. It was perfect. Like, it had an upstairs and a downstairs.
Yeah.
It looked so wicked. You know, you turn the lights off and everything pops up and it looks great.
Yeah.
So, and it's not a bowling alley anymore.
Yeah. I noticed it closed down. Yeah.
It's like a church or
something. Yeah. Something like that.
Why does all cool things become churches? Like all the fucking movie theaters become churches.
Well, what happened to the where we shot live feed? That's gone. That's long gone.
Oh, the Venus.
The Venus Theater.
I don't even think that could have become a church, right?
No. That's true. It's fantastic.
So Gutterballs, now one thing about Gutterballs is there is a pretty intense 10 minutes rape scene.
Yeah.
I would kind of think of it like Irreversible or something where it's really, really brutal.
Yeah.
So how was that? Like how is it doing something like that?
It was brutal.
Of course.
Everybody is so fucking funny. But even normally, you know, they're fucking funny as hell, having such a good time. And you think that maybe a couple of them are going to find it funny to be doing that, but it wasn't. It was brutal. Like, there was people that had to leave after and to be like, Ryan, I got to go for a bit, you know? And it really is the honest to God truth. When I have seen it, you know, I've seen a lot of rape scenes. And some are, I don't feel anything about. And some I'm traumatized, you know, the accused. When you see the lead get raped, it just, some of it hurts the way it's done. And the way that I did this one, it was fucking brutal. And I think it hurt. And that's a horror movie, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, it definitely comes across like that. There's no fun in that
scene. No, there's not.
Although, and it's interesting because the rest of the movie is quite fun.
But it certainly
sets the tone in a different way.
Well, the XXX version, you know, during that rape, it has penetration. But back in the 70s and 80s, there was pornos that were XXX where they would put little scenes in. You know, it doesn't have to be the same actor. You just put the scene in if it's a close-up. You know, and don't use a real penis. Use a dildo.
I mean, like, the most famous of that for... most famous, whatever. But, I mean, like, Thriller, they call her One Eye. I mean, it's kind of notorious for that.
Yeah, there's many. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, with that movie, now, I noticed there was two different soundtracks.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
Well,
I
mean,
the one I remember is the one with the Canadian music, which is pretty great.
Yeah, well, absolutely. The initial soundtrack were songs we were working on that had been approved for certain fees upon our sales. And there was one that was still hemming and hawing. And we were like, oh, they're going to want to get some dough. So they came back and said, no, we don't want it on there.
Ah.
But the fucking 1,000 movies were even pressed.
Yeah.
We thought that this was a sure deal.
Yeah.
So those movies never got officially released.
That's okay. The bootleg, right?
Yeah.
Basically, they saw that there was a massive rape scene in the movie and were like, nope.
Wow. Yeah, but the movie already had been edited because we thought and we were told by, you know, it was a big call, you know, going on a long time. And so that we couldn't release it properly, you know, it became under the table type of thing.
Yeah.
And then what I did was still wanted to have a great Canadian band. So we hired them, famous Canadian band. And that's who did part the soundtrack, the second one.
Oh, really?
On the first movie. Yeah. Absolutely. And so it was a neat ride.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Yeah
I mean, the choices of the music I just thought were perfect in the bootleg
they're
edition.
Similar they're similar, but it's some are old and then the similar stuff was new at that time.
Right on.
So yeah.
Now, how about different versions of this? Is there other than the soundtrack issue, is there also different cuts of the movie?
Yeah,
the
there's film? Different cuts.
And is there a definitive Ryan Nicholson approved cut?
Well, I think the one that the TLA cut, that version that came out in the USA, that's my favorite version.
Okay.
And that's the one
with the different soundtrack then.
That's with the soundtrack, yeah. It's Harlequin. Harlequin is the band that did that soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Harlequin's a famous Canadian band for hits from the, you know, the 80s and 70s even. They did the second and the soundtrack. And so did somebody else who is an amazing man. But anyways, he has got his band called Zombie.
Oh, I've heard of the Zombie. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the fellow, he plays the bass in Zombie. It's only two guys. It's a drummer and a bassist, guitarist, keyboardist type thing. And yeah, so it's lots of fun.
Right on.
Lots of money though. Things cost, especially that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Cutter balls. It costs dough.
Yeah. Well, it shows.
Yeah.
And I really like the cover art of that movie as well. Because
and there's many.
There's like an I Spit on Your Grave one.
Yeah.
There's a variation on Maniac.
Yeah,
I really dug some of those.
There's new ones that just came out.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, there was a re-release in Europe, in Germany. The new ones are Children of the Corn. There's that cover. There's like four covers. And that's kind of the way I went with that.
Yeah.
In particular movie. There was the Halloween 2 cover. You know,
right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was such a fascinating movie to do. Things never changed in that. It was like I was in the 80s doing something and shooting something in the 80s.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah.
So moving on from that, we then move into that's chocolate pudding movie, Hanger.
Yeah.
we're in 2009. So this one, okay. So when I watched this one, I kind of was like, okay, so if Street Trash really went for it, it would be Hanger.
I had to watch it a few times to really, get the tone, I guess, and, really get into it.
Yeah.
But I like all the character makeups and everything that they had done.
It's something else.
It was always fascinating to do a movie where, you know, 99% of the characters are in full prosthetics.
Yeah.
Through the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
And the amount of work that it was Michelle Grady that did all the effects, and she's phenomenal. And she was one of Megan's friends.
Oh, cool.
She was also my teacher.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So it was, the effects in that were great.
Yeah.
We love Hanger in many ways. And a lot of them is the fact of who came to set, and you know, Debbie Rashawn.
Yeah.
You know, and you have Lloyd Kaufman came, and I went way after that, years later. I ended up meeting him in Europe. We were both in the same convention, and we were both in the same hotel. And
so,
and we were out together a ton, and also with Trent Haggis.
Right,
Haga.
And he was also, the three of us were just hanging out for a week because we were there for one night to do something.
Right on. Okay, and then, I mean, some of the things that were down about Hanger were Hello Kitty Pez. And colostomy.
It was a vibrator.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it a vibrator?
It looked like a Hello Kitty vibrator.
Oh, Hello Kitty vibrator / Pez dispenser.
A little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Yeah. I mean, this thing is, yeah, I mean, a lot
it was
of
a bizarre movie.
A lot of offensive stuff. I mean, yeah. I could tell you were really kind of pushing things.
Yeah. And I think we hit people, you know, that saw it, and they were just fucking, they can't watch that movie.
Yeah, people are going to be offended by this
one.
Well,
yeah, people, and some are just, they're traumatized by the gruesomeness of it.
My favorite people are the ones that come up and say, I fucking loved Hanger.
Yeah.
Those are the people I want to party with.
Right on.
Honey, it's called Hanger, not Hangers.
I said Hanger.
Oh, I thought I said Hangers. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I apologize. I didn't.
It's definitely really well done. And again, I was really kind of surprised at the commitment you were able to get out of the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Considering the subject matter. And,
yeah, and most of the cast was from Gutterballs.
Who played Russell again?
Russell?
Russell?
That was Wade.
That was Wade.
The guy
that's
with
right,
the head came
through. That's Wade Gibb.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And this was also before my time, FYI.
Yeah.
Wade, yeah, they're all great guys. Alistair, Nathan, Wade. It's perfect. Those guys are great. Still to this day.
That's
to
great.
To me, yeah.
That's
after,
great.
You know, and they're all been on big shows, which is good.
So you've made, yeah, and since then you've made a number of other movies. We've
yeah.
got Star Vehicle,
yeah.
Famine,
yeah, yeah.
Dead New Girls, and
yeah.
Collar. So just, you've been very prolific.
Well,
and
Collar was fucking amazing.
Yeah, oh. Collar's. I haven't seen Collar yet, but it sounds pretty intense.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the
and
way
you
we
were
did
involved
it.
In this one too,
yeah.
right, Megan?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. And
Dead New Girls, Collar.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything after.
Well, Dead New Girls isn't really a movie. It's just. It's like little clips.
Dead New Girls fucking freaked me out a bit, dude.
It was just like us having fun and like molesting all
and
of
she
my
filmed
friends.
It.
Yeah.
We're like, can we do things to you? And they're like, okay.
You shot it? You
oh,
were
yeah,
the
yeah,
camera
yeah.
operator? Wow.
Yeah. And it was the effects and the camera operator. Like, with the axe into my friend's vagina, that was the best.
Yeah, Dead like, New Girls was a little under my wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah. It's bizarre again. Like,
and Ryan stars in it.
Yeah,
so
just,
yeah.
yeah it was
yeah.
just Ryan's deepest, darkest fantasy, basically.
Well,
yeah.
then I started to like acting, so I went in and Gutterballs 2, the bootleg. That's me. I'm the only man in the movie. And I play three different characters.
Gutterballs 2, the bootleg?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it. I was
oh
going to ask
God.
You what was up with Gutterballs 2.
Yeah, well, it's a long story. we made the sequel.
It's
but,
done?
Well, no, here's
okay,
the thing.
Okay, here we go.
We went to Washington State, and we actually shot there at a bowling
okay.
alley. But then when I came back and started editing what I put together, it was bizarre. It was not the way that Gutterballs 2, I think, should come back. And Gutterballs 2 needed more of the original cast. But it just didn't go that way.
Because they're all dead.
But, but we went and did something else. And I only really got half of it the way I wanted it. And so we decided that would be a different thing. And we'd shoot a different ending that was made for a different movie, would clip onto it because BBK was joined in that movie as well.
We have a really good concept for it to get finished, but I don't know.
We're going to get it finished. We're
nice.
Getting it finished the way it should have been finished.
Yeah.
And it's not like we have to go shoot a whole movie.
No.
Because there's a lot of things that we need from the other movie. That's what part two is about. So, yeah. Still, it's coming, but it's still, you know, a couple months before we could consider really getting good shots done.
Yeah.
So
plus Ryan's against like
it's got to be finished though. The movie has to be done and released this year. It's got to be finished completely.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it will be.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
And
looking forward to it.
Well,
I'm looking forward to the return of BBK.
Well, we had a great Indiegogo campaign.
Okay.
And we raised over $25,000
oh,
just
wow.
on the Indiegogo thing. We had over 500 people, or around 400 people that contributed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they've been waiting now for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's we got to get it done and ship it out and then ship the Gutterballs 2 bootleg out. And just people that love the first one. We want them to love the second one.
Right on.
So people that see the bootleg are like, holy fuck, this is bizarre. It's not like this first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's very different.
It's
from
different.
The first
really?
One.
Yeah, yeah. So it will be perfect when I put it in the second one the right way it should go. Yeah.
Right on. Okay, just a couple of other things I wanted to bring up just because I'm not sure what's going on with them. So one thing on your filmography on IMDb, and I've never heard of this, and it's on both yours. It's something called Redemptus. What,
oh my God!
What is this?
Yeah, that's done. That's long done. That's well, that's a thing. It was a New Image. It was a New Image thing, which was the college. Essentially, we made a series. Okay, and the series was more like a website type of thing. And
I believe that's on there.
And it was
it's fully on there. And I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah,
I'll
so
never see it.
It was never officially released. But what it was I would write it, and it was more of a criminal thing where it was more like people.
It was
that
like
were,
a halfway house.
Yeah, people that were in halfway houses. Some of them are really still fucked, and they're going to go do things that they shouldn't go do. So that's what this was about, Redemptus, because we wanted to make it into a series that we could shoot in right. Vancouver. So we had to do.
Pilot.
Yeah, and that type of thing.
Right on.
Without much of a crew.
I honestly you know. Can't even remember what happened.
I was the crew. I filmed it myself and directed it.
I remember being at this house.
There was, we
Ryan,
had...
The house had, like, animal, this dog, and Ryan was so allergic to this dog, and this was, like, our location. And, like, every day, he's like, I can't breathe, and I'd be, like, puffing him full of venom.
Yeah, it was...
it was so ridiculous.
Well, New Image, they were doing so much at once.
Yeah.
This was kind of like, I had to make it the way that it should be made. I didn't have the gear, so the lighting is the shit. It's oh, yeah.
Right.
But the acting was great. The people that were in it were great.
The kids were good.
Yeah. It's so, short, too. Each one is only, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it looked like a web series
yeah,
or
yeah.
something.
It's a web series. Yeah, that's yeah. exactly.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah.
So, is there any other features in development?
There is a couple of things that I'm thinking about. So, it's just a matter of Gutterballs 2. Got to get that out of my mind, finished, and then I get into the second, you know, type
We've
of thing.
We've been talking about doing a werewolf movie.
Okay.
For the longest time.
Nice, that would
yeah.
be good.
Where, like, I don't want to spill too much, but, like, it's a female werewolf, and, like, the transformation comes from, like, her vagina.
Of course. Seems to be a theme here with Megan.
Seems to be a theme the entire night.
Periods, exactly. Werewolf vaginas.
No, it's going to be amazing. We've been wanting to do it, but, like, obviously Gutterballs 2 comes first. We have to, like, focus on that.
You know, you could always go Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 on Gutterballs 2, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Very true.
Yeah, so, you know, there's things, and I'm thinking about them, just seeing, you know, we got to get it done. How are we going to get it done? Who are we going to have it done with? That type of thing.
There was rumor at one point of you doing a remake of Three on a Meat Hook. Is that still happening, or what's going on?
Yeah, that's basically three shorts, but it was the place where I was going to shoot it is now closed down. Mm-hmm. And I was going to shoot it there. I had talked to them about shooting it there, and they were like, yeah. So we had sorted it out, but it was taking so goddamn long to figure it out. And I needed a certain items made that I didn't even talk to Megan about. It was just too much work at right. a specific time. Right. So eventually, when I thought I could get close to doing it, I go and it's shut down. I'm like, oh,
fuck,
shit.
Because yeah.
what was built was the perfect way to do that. Three on a Meat Hook, you know. It's, I love the original movie,
yeah.
but this is nothing to do with the original. It's basically just a guy giving three movies and how they're shorts and how they're connected.
It's an anthology.
Right? It's like a creep show type of thing.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's not an actual remake.
No, but right. I have things. I have shorts that I've even done that I haven't even released. You know, because it was talked about this or that, but what was done in them? It's like, no, I'm not going to re-release.
Well, I remember Ryan telling me like he tried to make this movie called Piglet.
Oh God!
And he was drunk the whole time. He was trying to make it, and the only footage he actually got, he like erased accidentally while he was drunk or something.
Oh yeah!
Like, but he was said it was really good stuff.
Oh, it was neat stuff. Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, I think his whole like thing was trying to direct this movie while wasted like that. It was like, see what he can get. Apparently not far.
But I think you can do that when you're a musician, but maybe not as yeah. a director.
There you go. There
it was
you
called
go.
Piglet, and it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, Ryan.
Now, I also remember at one point there was I thought there was something you were doing with Nick Palumbo, who did
it
fucking
was
Murder Set Pieces.
Yeah.
What happened there? I thought, was it an anthology or were you guys collaborating on a movie?
Yeah, we were collaborating. And essentially, he was getting shit on by the public for Murder Set Pieces for the fact that people thought he was being racist. And in fact, that wasn't the case. I went to meet him in LA. I stayed with him for a weekend to go over a thing we wanted to get done. And he was fine. The guy was completely normal. He was not racist. He doesn't like racists.
Yeah.
But his career basically for horror kind of, you know, went downhill because of these people busting his ass for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's that happens to me too. It happens to me. And sometimes you just say, screw it, I'm getting off Facebook, I don't need this shit for a while. And then sometimes you go back on and it's fine, you know.
Right.
So, but he was a good guy and his movie's fantastic. And to me, it's number two in my most extreme horror films ever made. Number one is a Serbian film.
We're going to go through the whole fucking list in a few minutes here. and also another association that I've met him too, because yeah. I clearly remember, and I've told this story before on here, where Ryan comes over to my house one night. My parents were away. I was house sitting. Ryan shows up at my door with fucking Killjoy from Necrophagia.
And I remember that.
And yeah. Makes me watch fucking August Underground Mortem.
Yeah.
And this is the one movie that's always freaked me out. Oh. Is that was it, that Japanese one.
Oh.
With the Men Behind the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
The one about... God.
And I just remember it was like a torturous night. But I'm just wondering... Yeah, because I had to watch like the guy's ass explode.
Oh,
and
so nasty.
The woman with her fucking hands in the ice.
Yeah, getting all frozen off. Yeah.
And then, of course, Mortem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks, Ryan. but I'm just wondering about Killjoy. Like, how did that relationship start?
Oh, Killjoy. Oh, man. It was... essentially through music. It was essentially through a sort of a metal thing I was doing and me talking, you know, on the computer to him. And because I was a fan of Necrophagia. Yeah. I still am a fan of Necrophagia, and Killjoy's a great guy. So it was neat meeting him because he's like, oh, is there good, you know, places to go record my next album in Vancouver? And I was like, hell yeah, there's a ton of places here. And so he came here to record new albums. And he recorded them with me too.
Nice.
Yeah, it was neat. And so essentially, I was doing things on those albums. We recorded a full album, just me and him in a new band.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was amazing. The new band was phenomenal. Okay. Well, guess what? Bill's house flooded so much, Killjoy's house had flooded so much a while ago. Everything was destroyed. Everything. And our metal band, everything was destroyed.
Oh, fuck.
There's not one recording. No, shitty. It's all gone. Yeah, everything.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's tough. But Killjoy's great. He's doing great. So I did some music videos. I directed one. I think he directed one. I starred in one. He started one.
Yeah.
Funny stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of music, I know at one point in your past, you were involved in a rap outfit called Snuff Maximus.
Yeah.
Want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Snuff Maximus. Well, that was my second band. I had one before called Disturbed Company,
right.
Which was a rap band.
Yeah.
But it was all horror and serial killer rap.
Yeah.
And but then I got into wanting more metal.
Yeah.
So we started Snuff Maximus. And essentially, I ended up kind of doing my own band. I got out of Snuff. That broke up. And then I started something else. And... I did my own stuff for quite a long time. And, you know, I met, you know, Chai Pig from SNFU. Yeah. And Chai and I did music together. And Chai and I are still great friends.
Yeah.
So we may see him tonight, actually. We might stop by and say hi.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's, you know, music.
Chai's an interesting dude.
I absolutely love bands and doing that. And I still do. So I just started a new metal band.
Great.
And yeah, we have great guys. I have a guy in the U.S. I have a guy in, two guys in the U.S. and one guy over in Toronto area.
Right on.
And so we're going to be doing it all kind of on the computer for now. But, it's going to be great.
Is there a name?
Yeah. It's Gorgasaurus. Should we say?
Oh.
Yeah.
Should we say?
Oh, yeah, it's it. Gorgosaurus.
Gorgosaurus. This is dropping on Friday, so if you want to announce before.
No, it's Gorgosaurus. It's Gorgosaurus. And essentially, our first song is all about dinosaurs. Because Gorgosaurus was a real dinosaur that was just vicious and almost like a...
It's like worse than a T-Rex.
Yeah, worse than a T-Rex. And nice. So, oh, you see the logo. We had the logo is going to be great.
Don't make me laugh, dude. I have to pee so bad.
Yeah, so that's coming along. And rap is as well.
Right on.
Sherwood from Disturbed Company, he did a couple new songs a couple of years ago. And, one of them was about a year ago that he sent me the instrumental. So I have two songs to finish, you know, with him. And that's going to be new Disturbed Company. So that's pretty damn cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to just start wrapping it up here. But I do want to just go over, just because we love lists, and I know you love lists as of late. So I did want to just go over, Ryan's recently posted on Facebook his top 10 extreme horror films.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to sort of go through those from 10 to 9. I've got them written down in case you forgot. Megan, if you want to chime in at all on any of these. But number 10, do you remember?
Number 10... Let me see. Yeah, Martyrs. Oh, fuck. Martyrs is so good. Now, here's the thing. They remade Martyrs lately, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And I heard it was...
It's not out yet, though.
No, it's out. It's gone. It's already gone from the theater.
I haven't seen it yet.
I won't.
It's in the video stores, too.
It was PG-13.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, how can you even think about Martyrs and make a movie PG-13? So, I haven't seen it. But this show, the first Martyrs.
I love how fantastic. There's two tones for Martyrs. Like, you have the opening sequence, and then you have the fucking ladder of the movie, and you're like, what the hell? Like, they don't really coexist, but they do.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just so violent and vicious, and then you see why.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love that movie so much.
I had to build myself up to watch Martyrs, just because, like, I'm not as into extreme horror.
Oh, okay.
But I did watch it last year, finally.
I love that movie.
Hasn't left my mind since. And not because it's freaked me out. It was just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Well done. Like,
yeah.
It was exploitive and extreme, but also, like, not... Like, it had a meaning, I guess.
Absolutely.
Like,
It made you think. Now, number 9. Inside.
Yeah.
Inside.
Chris likes Inside.
My God. It's
who doesn't?
So, so good. And you think to yourself, I mean, this is my, you know, extreme horror films. And some people are probably like, you know, extreme. And it's like, but it is extreme. The way it was done, how it was, you know, reacted to people, you know, reviews, how traumatized people were. And Inside was just it's in the top 10 and it's number 9.
And I've loved Beatrice Dahl from a movie called Betty Blue.
Oh yeah, Betty Blue
is such a great movie too.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, this was a hard list because really the top 5 are in order, but the other, you know, 5 are kind of like you could put them anywhere in the top 10. But Inside, phenomenal. Headless. Now, Headless.
I didn't know about this one until I saw it on your list.
Oh, and it's so
fantastic.
Now,
tell a bit about the backstory on this one.
Well, essentially, if you look at... it's... Oh, how can I describe it?
Kind of like
it?
A film within a film, right?
Well, yeah. It was essentially... It was essentially a film in...
Found.
Well,
right.
You had the killer in a film they were watching on Found.
Yeah.
Found was a great movie. Found was phenomenal.
I loved Found. I wasn't a fan of Headless like he is.
But I am.
Yeah.
So
I loved Found. It was good.
Oh, yeah. Found is great. And so Headless, I just, when I first saw it, you know, it's because you're watching the movie that you saw in Found and, you know, chopped up. But you're watching it all straight ahead here. And just the effects were so phenomenal. The makeup effects, the character, the killer, the young boy in it. Oh, just phenomenal.
Right.
I think about it a lot, Headless. So it had to go in there.
Yeah.
The amount of gore and blood, it was phenomenal. Just good, great. Now, number 7, Pieces of Talent.
I don't know about this one at all.
No. It's actually really funny.
Is it?
In a good way. Like, it's campy. Yeah, I really liked that movie when I saw it.
Well, it has that in it, but then all of a sudden it's not. It's the most brutal thing you're seeing. And the actor, like the guy who plays the killer in it, holy shit, just the phenomenal acting.
He reminds me of Ryan before, like, last year. Like, the way he looks.
Right.
Yeah, like, he had, like, long hair.
And when I was
glasses.
Killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haven't been caught yet, you know. Okay, so yeah, Pieces of Talent, phenomenal flick. You got to see it. Now, Aftermath, number 6.
Oh, fuck me.
I know.
Well, you like Aftermath?
I do.
Oh my god.
You know, you watch it.
It was just
it's one of those movies.
Just a little too far.
It just goes to a thing where you're like, okay, it'll be cut here, you know. It's not going to go further, and then it goes further.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's phenomenal. Like the bodies themselves were so realistic. Yeah. And you know, but this is a long time ago when it was made, and they still looked realistic. Now everything's made out of silicone, so you think everybody's a real dead body when it's showing.
Yeah.
But the effects were fantastic in that era. You know, now number 4, La Petite Mort 2.
Yeah.
Now the thing is,
we missed one, right? Number 5.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Number 5.
How could we miss number 5?
Number 5. So, Necromantic. I mean, really? I would almost say Necromantic 2. But you know what? I mean,
I can see that.
I watched part 1 as well. The two of them are the same to me. You know, really? So I'm just like Necromantic.
Evil Dead.
Yeah. Necromantic. The movie was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And just the director and how he does his stuff. And, you know, he hasn't made... Well, he kind of has made something recently. But he went a long ways with doing other stuff. You know, he's into the comics or graphic novel stuff.
Yeah.
The guy's so talented.
Yeah.
And his movies... he's fantastic. Necromantic traumatized me. And it really was one of the most extreme ones. And the one that I think I put on my last list, which wasn't this list... is sort of with Necromantics.
Yeah, I remember one of my first experiences with extreme horror was A Night of Necromantic and Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, shit.
That fucked me up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All of the animal violence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what fucked me up.
Oh, the poor fucking bunny, man.
Oh, I know. I hate it.
Okay, well, let's move on to La Petite Mort 2, number 4. Now, I did the effects on that with my wife. And that movie, shooting it, and how extreme it was, and the actors in it, and just the fact we shot it in Germany.
Yeah.
We shot it in a damn porno thing dug in the ground, way below that you go in there to shoot and you're shitting your pants.
Yeah.
Well, so
and some people have shit their pants the night before on the sex they were doing, because there was still shit on the floor sometimes.
Oh, fuck, man.
But that movie, it's so extreme in the way that I watch it and how I think about it. I acted in it, too.
Wow.
And that was very extreme. Number 3, August Underground Mortem. Now, that is such an extreme film, and it's so disturbing.
That was the first one I ever saw.
Yeah. And that's same with me. Mortem was, I didn't see the first one before I saw Mortem.
Yeah, me neither, Ryan.
Yeah. So Mortem, it was fantastic. And, you know, Fred Vogel.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest guys. Super, super, super filmmaker. So talented. And for Mortem, actually, Killjoy was involved.
Yeah.
And I helped. And I was involved too.
Yeah.
Because I sent them stuff. Yeah.
Did he help feed the girls before they threw up that day?
Oh, God, that girl throwing up.
Yeah, so, you know.
Lots of throw up, lots of dead things.
But August Underground, you know, his movies are just fantastic. So, I can't wait to see what they do next. And we're talking, great people there. So number 2, Murder Set Pieces.
Yeah, I've never seen this one.
The uncut version is the only one to watch, though. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I really like it.
And here's the thing. The version that was so available was the cut version.
Yeah, the rumor.
So a lot of people
put it out.
Yeah, and a lot of horror fans see it, and they're like, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
When I met Ryan, he was like, oh, Murder Set Pieces, you have it. I'm like, yeah, the movie's fucking bunk, though.
Yeah.
That sucks. He's like, no. And
complete
like,
scenes taken
like,
out.
There's like 30 minutes of the movie that makes sense.
Wow.
And
gone.
Like, all the violence is gone. And I'm like, this movie sucks. I don't know why Rue Morgue was like, oh my god, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But the movie uncut is phenomenal.
So
it was made. I love the way it was made. You know what? I just think it's number 2.
It's a mean movie, though. So if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And number 1, a Serbian film. I mean,
also a mean movie.
What can I say?
Again, just saw it last year for the first time.
Yeah.
And,
it affected me. It affected me more than any other. And that's hence it's number one. I was so... When I saw the little baby, yeah. It broke me. It broke me down. You know, I cry when I see that film. It's so fucking nasty.
I got aroused.
It's interesting. It didn't fuck me up as much as I thought it would. But that head...
The machete, the doggy style.
That fucked me up. Mm. Yeah, that was
absolutely
gross.
The worst. That was
good. Well, thank you. But yeah, we just wanted to end on that fun note. But Ryan's top 10. But it was really, it's really interesting to hear a top 10 like that from someone like you. So yeah. Thank you so much for doing that. And thank you so much for coming.
And let's just go back to number four for a sec, to the La Petite Mort 2.
Oh, yeah.
So Varcel Walls. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that is an amazing director to this day.
Right. And director of Blood Feast. Really.
Yeah. Director of Blood Feast. I just want to say that he's amazing. So there you go. Everybody get his stuff.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for both of you for coming
for
on. We really had a lot of fun. And
thank you.
And good luck with everything.
We've learned a lot of things today. And
yes, we have.
I'm a little bit frightened of these two of them.
And I'm literally going to piss my pants if we don't fucking...
All right, well,
right
so why don't you let everyone know where we can find you online?
Oh, online, we're www.plotdiggerfilms.com. It used to be plotdigger.com. That's being redone. But the plotdiggerfilms.com and Facebook, Plot Digger Films as well. We have a great Facebook page.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And you can find us at www.thevideograveyard.com/GBWpodcast.
Listen to him rushing because he's got to piss so bad.
So bad.
All right. Thank you for coming, guys.
Thank you so much, guys. It was great to catch up.
It was awesome. I'm going to clap because you guys are so good.
Hey, we've never been clapped before.
And now.